Can I just begin by asking you to introduce yourself, please?
So I'm Peter Shergold. I was in the public service. Now I have a portfolio career, and I'm the Chancellor of Western Sydney University.
Excellent, Peter. Well, I'm going to start with asking you to consider a question which you've ever had to straddle between structure and spontaneity and trying to balance that tension. And to begin with that, you've got something in your mind as to what you would choose?
Well, I think I'd choose the real challenge I have now. I've been asked to be Coordinator General of Refugee Resettlement in New South Wales. So at one level, it is intensely structural. It is all about planning for the intake of probably an additional 4,000 to 7,000 refugees from the Syrian conflict in New South Wales next year. It is working with Commonwealth and local government and state government authorities to try and have a whole of government approach. It's planning, it's structure. But inevitably, a key part of the role is also helping the Premier to bring the public along with him. So, for example, this morning I'm doing interviews with ABC Radio. There were going to be interviews about, you know, would refugees be going to the Illawarra and what are the settlement services available? Very structural. Inevitably, you have to be spontaneous because we're conducting this interview in the light of the bombings and shootings that happened in Paris. And so the questions are absolutely coloured by that. Are we going to be accepting refugees, for example, who are going to come here with Syrian passports and then become terrorists? So at one level, I'm having to be agile and flexible and on the feet in adapting to changing circumstance, while on the other, do the most structural tasks, which is planning for how you integrate 4,000 to 7,000 additional refugees.
So it's a great example. And what I'm going to ask you, thinking about that example, what's gone well?
What's gone well, in part, is that I have the right team to support me. So I have a team of people who are based in Premier and Cabinet, so it has all the authority of the Premier and myself in order to, in a sense, force collaboration across state government agencies. And, of course, we have the normal IDCs and everything you need to have a whole-of-government approach. It has the authority to be able to negotiate at a senior level with the Commonwealth government on where a refugee is going to be settled and so on. So all of that, I think, has gone well. The challenge I have is...
You're possibly moving into the next question now, which is what hasn't gone well.
So the what hasn't gone well, then, is this. Lack of vision and lack of imagination. So when the Premier said I was to be the Coordinator General, public servants, not surprisingly, see that task from their own perspective. They see it, if you like, as very inward. They expected me to be working with government agencies. What hasn't gone so well, where we're playing catch-up now, is of my strong view that coordination has to embrace working with community organisations, working with local government authorities, working with the Syrian and Iraqi communities already here, working with universities and TAFEs, working with the business community. That, in my view, coordination has got to be whole of community, not just whole of government. So that's the challenge there has been. It's not that it's not working well, it is that that was what they hadn't, the public servants and even the government, hadn't anticipated when I started the job. So the challenge has therefore been to lift the imagination, to get them to think more creatively about what partnerships and collaborations actually mean.
So you're moving into the next question, which is, what would you do differently?
Well, understand, I've only been doing this job for 2 months, so I'm learning them to. And I'm not sure I actually would have done anything differently, because I anticipated that this would be the challenge. I think I was very clear with the Premier, with the Premier's office, and with the department right from the start about how I imagined this role to be, and made sure that they were willing to support that. What I would do differently is have a whole team there by the time I took the position, instead of growing it slowly, because what that means is you're constantly having to bring newcomers and essentially get them to understand the task ahead and what's got to be done. It's probably very difficult to do when something has been created out of nothing, but it would have been nice to have a week in advance just to talk to the people you're going to be working with and getting to understand that we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. What I would do differently at the moment, I have a good team, but at one level I have, if you will, the bureaucratic planners, and on the other I have the Premier's communication team, because I'm straddling both roles. And I'm finding it quite a challenge to make sure that they are integrated, because the communications team are constantly wanting the time and you to go out and to do the public face of coordination, and also always wanting it probably to do it earlier than you would for coordination planning. So at the moment, I don't know how many refugees are going to be sent to what areas, but they want me to send out messages to regional New South Wales. So I'm having to do all these, have these meetings, and then do media interviews for various regions. And the obvious question, well, how many people are going to be coming here? And I can't answer it. And I won't probably be able to answer it till February or March of next year. So in my ideal world, I would have not just form follow function, I would have communications follow functional responsibility. What happens, and this happens in a lot within a political environment, is communications can end up driving what you're doing on the functional side, on the planning side, on actually making sure we're going to be ready to put services around refugees when they come. That, I think, is a challenge that you often have in organisations, and actually understand, get all areas of the organisation to understand that they have to work together and not in effectively bureaucratic silos.
Peter, that's a great insight. We have one last question, and that is, what do you celebrate?
Well, actually, this is a good role, because celebration, if you think about it, becomes part of the strategy. Okay, so in terms of how we're planning, a lot of it will be celebration. The first refugees who will arrive, doing something on Australia Day, finding options to celebrate the successes of refugees. So in effect, what I'm doing is celebrating the responsibility of this group. I'm not celebrating what we do, but they share in that celebration, because they can see this is what they're doing, and we are celebrating the achievements that they are able to reach. And those achievements then become part of the story, because remember, in this, one of the key tasks is taking the public with you. There is nervousness. In some areas, there is hostility. We've got to keep having a strong, positive message. So celebrations are important as part of that. And the good thing is that when you then celebrate outcomes, it's an opportunity to be able to celebrate the people behind the scenes who have been responsible for the outcome, to get them to actually have that wonderful sense of not just the adrenaline of doing it, but that sense of satisfaction when various time frames are met and when various events occur.
Well, Peter, can I thank you very much? We've been very fortunate there to listen to your insights, in particular how you have straddled and you've balanced those tensions between structure and spontaneity. Thank you very much.